We're going to be in the Old Testament for a little while. But before we dive in, I just want to say that I hope that you guys all had a great Christmas break. Anybody have a good time to just rest over Christmas? Was it nice not being in school? Some of you college kids have a much longer break than other people. It was nice not being in school, that kind of thing. I want you to do me a favor and just think for a second about the highlight for you. Okay, think back over the last couple of weeks about the highlight for you over your break. What was it? Just think for a second. The big moments, the fun moments, the exciting moments. Think about what it was for you. And now think back over the entire year, right? 2015, what were your highlights? What were the things that you don't want to forget? What were the exciting times, the big moments, the things that really made your year? For me, a lot of you guys know me, spend a lot of time with us. And so for me, one of my big things, and all you guys know this, is spending time with my kids. Have a lot of fun. I just love to see what they're thinking and love to see how they respond in different situations and how they act and that kind of thing. So one of my highlights this year was this. We set down a blank canvas on our table and gave our kids paint and brushes and just said, just play with it, paint something, whatever you want. I didn't know if they would try to paint like dinosaurs because they love them or shapes or trees or whatever, but this is sort of what they came up with. I learned a little bit from it. Next time I'll do it outside. And next time they probably won't be wearing clothes when they do it because we made a big mess. But this was one of my highlights, right? And they totally filled up the canvas. And then I thought about 2015, as I thought about where we're sort of going from here, I thought about our year sort of like a canvas. And in 2015, it's full, right? It's totally done. And we've completed everything that we could possibly do in 2015. And now it's sitting over here and it's on the shelf, right? We can't go back to it. We can't alter it. We can't change it. We can't take things away from it. And we can't add things to it. It's just done. 2015 is gone and it's behind us, which is okay. But the good news for us is this, right? Over here, we've got a blank canvas. It's sort of covered up right now. We've got a blank canvas of 2016. And this year, right, as it's just getting started, we haven't added much to it yet. We haven't filled it up with different things yet. And we've got the opportunity, right? You and I have the opportunity to decide what goes on our canvas in this next year. We have the opportunity to decide and to help determine what our life is full of as we move into this next year. You might look back or think back at the highlights of last year, and you might be thinking about some pretty incredible things, right? You might be thinking about it was the best year of your life, your relationships, the people that you were with, the ways that God has been involved in your life, and you're just so excited thinking back about this past year. But you might look at this and see blank spaces, right? You might think back to last year and think about all the things that you didn't do. You might be thinking about the opportunities that you passed up, the things that you wish you would have done that you didn't take the time to do. You might look back and see it was a really hard year for you and that a lot of things happened and that you're hoping that things can change moving into the next year. You might look back and see things on your canvas from 2015 that you wish weren't there, that you put up there, that looking back you really wish you hadn't and you could remove it. Here's the deal, guys. No matter what you see when you look back, when you think back on this last year, I want to encourage you to do a few things. Learn from it. Okay? Learn from what happened in your life this past year. Grow from it, right? Put it in your mind and in your heart to take the things that happened in your life last year to draw you and to push you closer in your walk and in your love relationship with Christ this year. So as we're thinking about a new year, as we're thinking about things that can go on our canvas for this year, as we're thinking about the way that we want our life to look this year, I thought that we could open up to the very beginning of the Bible and take some lessons from the first year. All right, so if you've got a Bible this morning, open up to page one. All right, we're going to start at the very, very beginning. It's a new year, so we're going to look at the very beginning, the very first year in God's Word. Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to start at the beginning at verse 1. So if you got a Bible, open up to Genesis 1, verse 1. And while you're flipping there, we're going to take a minute and open up our time in God's Word together in prayer. So if you guys would bow your heads. And before I pray up here, I want to invite you just to say a little prayer with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Ask God to not just this morning, but to this year, speak to your heart through His Word. Ask that God would speak to your heart through His Word. Ask that His Word would be active and alive in your life. and ask God to bring you to a place of boldness and obedience to do what it is that God has called you to do. God, we love you, Lord, and we're thankful for our time together today. God, we're thankful for the opportunity to spend time studying your word, God. And Lord, I pray for today, God, that you would be glorified, that you would be honored, God, and that as we open up your word together, God, you would show us, you would teach us, you would reveal to us how you want us to live heading into this new year and beyond. God, it's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says this, in the beginning. You guys have that memorized? Y'all knew that? Okay, good. All right, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning on that very first day. Guys, in the beginning, God created. Okay, in the beginning, God caused there to be something when before that, there was nothing. In the beginning, guys, God had a blank canvas and painted everything that we see today on that canvas. All right, try wrapping your mind around that, going from nothing to everything that we see today. All right, to help us understand that and to grasp that, we're going to do a little exercise together. All right, everyone, just take a second, close your eyes. Francis, close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes as tight as you can. It's a new year, be adventurous, it's gonna be okay. Get them closed. Now put your hands over your eyes with your eyes still closed, as tight as you can. Try not to let any light in there. Get it closed, get it tight. All right, now just think, what do you see? Darkness, nothing, somebody said nothing. All right, keep them closed and just listen for a second. Keep them closed. Right now, you're seeing everything that God started with in Genesis chapter 1. Right, you're seeing everything that he started. You're seeing absolutely nothing. And here's the deal. If you were there and you were watching, keep them closed. Some of you guys are peeking. Keep them closed. Here's the deal. If you were there to watch God create, right, at the beginning, you wouldn't have even had light to see that there was nothing. Because in verse 3, we see that God created light. All right, there was nothing there, and God spoke, and God started it. All right, you guys, open your eyes. He started with nothing. He started with nothing and created everything that we see today. He started with a blank canvas and built our world, built our universe. So guys, the first key, all right, the first thing for this next year, when we look back at 2016, what I would love for all of us to see on our canvas for this next year is that we put God first. Y'all good up for Frances, isn't she a great artist? Is that we put God first, all right? It only makes sense, all right? Think about it. Everything in history started with God. It all started with God, so we should too. And for 2016 to be the absolute best it can for us, guys, we've got to put God first. Everything around us exists because God spoke it into existence. Every one of us is here because God graced us with the gift of life. Look down at verse 5. All right, it says, God called the light day, the darkness he called night. There was evening, there was morning that first day. Guys, the first day happened because God told it to happen. And every day since then has happened because God told it to happen. Guys, God's got to be first in our lives because everything started with him, but for so many more reasons than that. If you've still got your Bible open, jump down to verse 26. Verse 26 says, then God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let man have dominion over the fish, over the birds, over the livestock, over the earth, and over everything that's on the earth. Verse 27, and just think about this. This is about you and God, okay? Verse 27, God created man in his own image. Think about yourself, and think about God and how cool that is. God created you in his own image. In the image of God, God created him. Male and female, God created them. Guys, it's important for God to be first in our lives. Number one in our lives this year and every year, because you and I, guys, we were created in his likeness. We were created in the image of God. Guys, that's a big, big deal. You can go back and look at the creation account, and over and over and over again, you see the words, God spoke, and there was light. God spoke, and there was dry land. God spoke, and there were animals. God spoke, and there were birds. God spoke, and there were fish in the sea. But you and I are different. Guys, you and I are different. God didn't speak us into existence. The Bible tells us that God used the dust and God formed us into existence. And after he formed you and I, after he formed man into existence, the Bible says that God breathed life. God breathed his breath into man to create life. Guys, you guys and me and people are totally different. We were created totally different. We were created to bear the image of God. We were created to reflect the glory of God. We were created to know God. And as God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden, guess what? God was there. God was present. God was active in Adam's life. And as we read through those first few pages of the Bible, we see how deeply and how strongly and how passionately God loves people. That's the God that made everything, made us so that we could know him. And then you go to chapter 3 of Genesis, and one of the most incredible verses of the Bible happens in chapter 3, verse 9. And it's after Adam and Eve had disobeyed God, after Adam and Eve ate the fruit from the tree that they weren't supposed to eat from. So after Adam and Eve, thanks, Mary. After Adam and Eve ate from the tree that they weren't supposed to eat from, guys, they realized they'd sinned. They realized that they were naked. And what did they do? Did anybody remember? They hid. They ran away. Okay, they tried to hide from the God that had just made them. They tried to hide from the God that had created everything, that had made everything. They ran away from God. Think about how silly that is, right? When I think about how silly that is, I'm sort of grieved that sometimes you and I think, do the same thing, and that we try to run away from God as well. But they ran away from God, and they tried to hide from God. And then we get to one of the most absolutely incredible verses of the Bible. God seeks them out. God pursues them. God tries to find them. And then he says the most comforting words that I feel like we could ever imagine. God seeks them out, and the words that he says as he approaches them are, "Where are you?" God's looking for his children. He says, "Where are you?" Guys, think about that. God knew where they were. He knew what was going on. He knew what they had done, and his heart was probably broken from it. But in the midst of that, guys, God went on a mission to find people. God went on a mission to find the ones that he had created. God did not abandon them. Guys, God pursued them. And that phrase, "Where are you?" It's not the only time in the Bible that we see God going after his kids. Guys, the entire Bible is about God pursuing us and loving us and bringing us into a relationship with him so that we can know him. And here's the really cool thing from that very first act in the Bible in chapter 3 where he's pursuing his people. God doesn't change. Right, and he's still doing that for me, and he's still doing that for you today. Guys, he wants to know you, and he wants you to experience the peace and the joy that can come only from knowing him, only from having him first and number one in your life. So this year, all right, sit around here often. This year, every eye up here, think about this. You determine your level of intimacy with God. Right, this year, 2016, it's up to you to determine how closely you're going to walk with God. Nobody else can control that. Right? Nobody else can force you closer in your love relationship with God. It's all deep and all depends on how much you want to give yourself over to him. It all depends on where he is in your life. And hopefully, he's first. Students say all the time, "I want to go deeper. I want to know him more. I want to experience God more. I want to feel God in my life. I want to be a leader so I can point other people closer in my relationship with Christ." Guys, here's the deal. Put God first. All right, when you look back on this year, I want you to see, I pray that you see that in every area of your life, you put God first, that you let every day begin with God, that you let every day end with God, and that all throughout the middle of the day, that your day has been full of God. And it's a good thing to say. Sometimes it's an easy thing to say. The question that you guys might have is how? Okay, great, I want to, but how? Here's an easy way, okay, a really, really easy way. Three things: time with God, obedience, being obedient to do what God's told you to do, and then more time
with God, right? Time, obedience, time, and just sort of that repetition in your life of always spending time with God. If God's truly first, you're going to spend time with him. Guys, our heart is that you fall in love with Jesus over and over and over again, that you constantly be in love with Jesus, that you taste the goodness, that you taste the joy of knowing and of walking with him. And we want to do everything that we can to help you, to teach you, to draw you closer in your walk with Jesus. And so every single day, how many of you guys get a text message from us at 6 a.m. every single day? Hands up, you could put them up. All right. Every single day at 6 a.m., guys, a devotional goes out to help you guys walk with Jesus. I want to encourage you to do something. When that text message comes to you, click on it. All right, open it up, click on the link, and spend time reading God's word. Spend time learning how to read God's word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time interacting with the scripture so that you can draw closer to God. Guys, we can write them, we can send them, we can help teach you how to read God's word, but we can't read God's word for you on a daily basis. Guys, draw closer to God this year. This is the perfect time to start. Everybody's new. Everybody's fresh. We've got a blank slate. Guys, when those devotionals go out, click on them and read them. Spend time with God this year. Allow God to speak into your heart. Allow God to speak into your life. And guys, as you do, you're going to see more and more in all the different areas of your life that you are putting God first. All right, first thing is that God needs to be first this year. And as we do that, right? As God's first, when we look back on our year and see everything else that happened in our year, it's going to look totally different than this. All right? It's going to look totally different. The way we respond in situations, the way that we are at school, the way that we are with our friends, the number of people that God worked through us to bring to Christ is going to be totally different as we put God first in our lives. The second thing I want to encourage you guys to make sure is on your Canvas this year, and I'm not sure how to do all this, Francis, so I'm going to try my best. The second thing I want to encourage you guys to do is this. Guys, use God's good gifts. All right, God's given you incredible gifts. Guys, use the gifts that God has brought into your life. I just stabbed myself. Use the gifts that God's brought into your life. All right, did anyone open a good Christmas gift this year? Just raise your hand. Anybody open a gift? Anybody wearing something they got for Christmas right now? All right, there we go. It was a good Christmas this year. That's why you guys look so good this morning. Everybody's wearing a Christmas present, all right? Here's the deal, guys. My kids opened some incredible Christmas gifts this year. All right, it was a lot of fun for Chelsea and I to sit back and watch their expressions, watch how they react, watch the different things that they did. Chelsea would be horrified for me to tell you this, but one of my favorite Christmas presents that my kids opened and have been playing with nonstop, and I'm sorry if this offends you, was a whoopee cushion, right? They absolutely loved it. Caleb, my two-year-old, calls it the toot machine. And what they do, it's awesome. They fill it up, and they are so sneaky. They'll walk up to you, and they'll say, "Hey, Dad." Say, "What?" They'll say, "I've got a really comfy cushion for you to sit on right now, or I've got a really comfy pillow for you to lay on right now," and then we'll sit on it, and they'll laugh at us, and it's good. So that was a gift they opened, and they've been using it nonstop. Another gift they got that was under our tree was this. Landon's so into Ninja Turtles, so we got him this Ninja Turtle Power Wheels dune buggy kind of thing, and he came downstairs, and it was covered in wrapping paper, and he walked right up to it, and we said, "Okay, go ahead and open it," and he opened it up. Yeah, there they are. He opened it up, so that picture right there took place about 30 seconds after he opened it. All right, he didn't waste any time at all. He didn't care about the rest of the presents that were there. He ripped it open, said, "Dad, you got to take it outside right now." We took it outside, threw it in it, and they spent the next however long just driving around the yard nonstop. But here's the deal that I want you to think about as you're looking at that picture. They got an incredible gift, and they didn't wait to use it. All right, Landon didn't say, "Thank you for the gift. I want to wait and use it when I'm older." He didn't get the gift to say, "You know what, I'm going to use it down the road." He didn't get the gift to say, "You know what, let's leave this under the tree and I'll just look at it." He got an incredible gift and he began to use it right away. Guys, on a much, much, much bigger scale than this, God has given each one of us incredible gifts. God's given each one of us incredible blessing, incredible things to be used now for his glory. You can look down at verse 28, and in verse 28 through 31, you see that God gives man an incredible amount of gifts, right? God gave man the world. God gave Adam and Eve the earth and said, "It's yours. Be a good steward of it. It's yours. Use it, right, for my glory." They were given this incredible gift, and all of us have been given incredible gifts. Here's the deal. Unfortunately, All right, we're not the first people on earth with the whole world at our disposal, but one thing that we all have in common is this. Guys, we've all got three gifts that God has given each one of us to be used for His glory. And this year, guys, use those gifts. And as you use the gifts that God's given you, you're going to look back on your year, and you're going to see what your year is full of, and you're going to notice something. As you use the gifts that God's given you, and you're looking back, you're going to see that your year was about Him and not about you. You're going to see that your year pointed people to Himself and not to yourself. You're going to see that God was able to work through you in big and strong and powerful ways. Guys, the first gift that God's given each one of us is our time. We've all got 24 hours in one day. I've got this really cool calendar on my phone. It was not custom built for me, but it's got 7 days in a week, it's got 24 hours in a day, and so on and so forth. I think that this year actually has 366 days, maybe. But here's the deal. We've all got the same amount of time. I was with a friend one time. Some of you guys might know him. I don't know. Will Lanier. He's a friend of mine. He's really smart, and it makes me feel bad about myself when I'm around him because of how smart that he is. And one time he asked me if I had read a certain book. And my response was, I haven't read that book. I didn't have time. And he looked at me and said, what do you mean you didn't have time? I said, I didn't have time. And he said, we all have the same amount of time. And he made me think for a second. And he went on to say, guys, we all have the same amount of time, but we choose to use our time differently. And I've always remembered that. Guys, we all have the same amount of time. Our time is a gift from God. And it's up to us to be a good steward of how we use our time. Guys, time's a gift that God's given us. So maybe this year we could spend a little less time on Netflix and maybe a little more time on loving the people that God's put in our life. Maybe a little less time on social media and a little bit more time on actual interaction with people in real life that need the love of Jesus. Maybe a little less time on ourselves. Maybe a little less time on things that draw us away from God and more time on things that push us closer to God. Guys, we've got an incredible gift every single day when we wake up. This year, be a good steward of your time. Don't waste time. Use the time that God's given you to bring glory to Him and to point other people to Himself. Second thing that we've all got is talent. All right, look to the person to your left. Your talent's different than theirs. Now back to your right. You're more talented than that person. No, I'm just joking. Your talent's different than theirs too. Here's the deal. We've all got talents that God's given us, and talents, they're not just playing a sport. They're not just playing an instrument. They're not just taking tests really well. Guys, we've all got an incredible amount of talents that God has given us to develop, that God has given us to use to bring glory and honor to Him. Guys, use the talents that God's given you to build up His body, the church. Use the talents that God's given you to build up those around you, the talents that God's given you to love people and to point them to a relationship with Christ. Listen, you guys are all talented, so don't think I'm singling anybody out here, but I thought of two people that I didn't tell them I was going to do this, so I hope this doesn't embarrass them. Two people that are talented, just to get your minds thinking about different talents that people have. One's a sophomore guy. His name's Max. I don't know if Max is here or not. I was trying to find him earlier. Is Max back there, Jester? Good, so we can talk about him, all right? So Max Hauser is awesome, right? I love this guy, and he's got this incredible talent, and those of you that are friends can vouch for me on this. He makes people think, all right? When you have a conversation with him, he makes you think. Right, he's got this incredible way of engaging you and forcing you to use your mind, forcing you to think about things a little bit differently, forcing you to talk about things in a little bit different kind of light. He's got this great ability to, when you're talking about spiritual things, he can really cause you to think deeply about your walk and your relationship with God. Guys, God gave him that mind and gave him the talent to use that mind to help other people think about God the way that God calls us to dwell on him. Another person that's got a lot of talent that we might not think of talent in this kind of way is another sophomore. I don't see her either. Is Courtney here? Good, we can talk about her too. That's perfect. Courtney White, right? So if you know Courtney White, she's got the biggest heart ever, right? She just loves people, and you can see it, right? It spills out onto other people in her life. Guys, God gave her that heart. God gave her passion for people. God gave her a love for people, and it's so cool to see her use that to point people to Christ, use that to love on the people in her life that might not know Jesus yet and to bring them closer to Him. Guys, you've got talents. Don't waste them. You've got talents. Develop them. Use them, right? Use them to point other people to Jesus. Remember, it's a gift that God's given you. Use the talent that you've got, whatever it is, to bring glory to God and point other people to Him. Last gift that God's given each one of us is your treasure, right? Time, talent, and now treasure. That's our money, right? That's our stuff. And admittedly, that's the hardest one, it seems like, it is to give away, right? Those of you that have a job, have some money, those of you that take your parents' money, it's just hard to give that away to other people, right? It's hard to give that when we need to give it. I'm going to help make it easier for you. It's not yours, okay? It's not yours. You can open God's Word and see over and over again, Old Testament and New Testament, everything we have is a gift from God to be stewarded, to be used by us to bring God glory. Guys, so whatever you've got, your resources, your money, if you've got a car, if you've got stuff, guys, use it to honor God. Use it to point people to Jesus. Help people out when they need help. Somebody doesn't have a ride to church and you've got a car. Guys, use what God's given you. Pick them up. Bring them to church. Use the car that God's given you. Somebody can't afford lunch at school, and I know there's people in your school that can't. Guys, use the money that you have and buy much. Help them out. Sacrifice a little bit of yourself to help the people that God's put in your life. Use the treasure. Use the stuff that God's given you as a gift to point people to Him. And I promise you, think about this. At the end of the year, when you're looking back on your year, if you use the things that God has blessed you with to bless others, I promise you, your year will be totally different. It will look totally different. You'll impact so many lives. You'll have the opportunity to point so many people to Christ. You'll have the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus to people that desperately need it. Guys, so use your gifts to bring glory and honor to God. And then the last thing, guys, and this is also so important. When you look back on 2016, we want to see that we put God first. We want to see that we've used our gifts to bring glory and honor to God. And the last thing is this, guys, I want your 2016 to be full of people, all right? It needs to be full of people. You need to find people in your life. When you look back, all right, Genesis, the very beginning, God creates Adam and places him in paradise. Paradise. Think about the Garden of Eden. He's there. He's in paradise. And God looks down and says, it's not good for man to be alone, right? Even in paradise, it wasn't good for man to be alone. So it's definitely not good for us, any of us, to be alone here. You need people. All right. Raise your hand if you got people. Okay, guys, you need people. You need people in your life, but much more important than people, you need the right people in your life. You need the right people surrounding you, the right people lifting you up, the right people investing in you, loving you, appointing you to Jesus. You need the right people in your life. You need a group that loves you, a group that supports you. Guys, you need the church in your life. You need to be supported. You need to be encouraged. You need to be loved on by the people of God. And guys, it doesn't just happen, all right? You don't just fall into that, all right? It's not just this magical thing where you walk into the doors and all of a sudden you're a part of a group. All of a sudden you're a part of a crowd. Guys, you've got to be intentional. You've got to be active. And most of all, guys, you've got to be present. You've got to be here to get connected here. You've got to be around the right people to get connected to the right people. Guys, it's so, so important. All right, for you guys to be with the right people. So this year, guys, commit to it, right? Commit to being in relationships with people that will support you and love you and push you closer to Jesus all year long. And guess what? All right, those of you that just raised your hand and said you had people, there were a lot of people in this room that did not raise their hand. They're here all the time, but they don't feel like they're a part of the group. If you're a part of the group, guys, if you're connected, if you got people that love you and that care about you, please make it easy for people that aren't part of the group yet to become a part of the group. Be the church. Do what God's called us to do and love them. Welcome them in. If you see them sitting alone, go ask them to come and sit with you. When you guys go to department time in a few minutes and there's somebody that's by themselves, get up from where you are, go grab them, and let them become a part of your group as well. There's people here that still need people. But even farther than that, guys, there's people in your school that you're going to see this week, all right? College people that you'll see in a few weeks, right? There's people in your school that you interact with every day that don't have the right people in their life. Reach out to them. Invite them. Let them become a part of a group that loves them, but not just a group that loves them, a group that loves Jesus as well and cares about whether or not they love Jesus. Think about how different your school would be if the 500 or 600 people in here went to school this week, found one person, one person that doesn't have the right people in their life and brought them next week. Think about the difference that that would make in their life. Think about the difference that that would make in your school as we continue to find people that don't know Jesus and introduce them to the love and grace of Jesus. You guys need the right people in your life. Commit to that this year and commit to helping other people find the right people this year. And I promise you guys, as you look back on 2016, as you look back to see what your year is full of, as you look back to see what you did throughout the year, the high points throughout the year, the different things that God was able to do in and through your life this year, guys, I promise it'll look totally different than 2015. 2015 might have been a fantastic year for you guys, but our hope and our prayer is that 2016, because of your relationship with God, because of your love for God and your obedience to God, that 2016 is the best year of your life, and that they each get better after that.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before He forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and He took upon our punishment on Himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.